Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 462. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
We're back. We're really back.
Earl is here.
We're a dinosaur story. And that's not an old reference. I mean, it is an old reference, but did anybody watch that movie when they were a kid?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Wait, which movie?
We're back, a dinosaur story.
I didn't realize that that was what we were referring to. I don't know. I don't know if I saw that one. I saw The Land Before Time.
You need to love dinosaurs more, Chris.
I love dinosaurs. I watched like 15 Land Before Time movies.
I mean, like, I don't know if that's enough for dinosaurs or just Stockholm Syndrome at that point.
Actually, I did not watch all 15 of those movies. I think I saw like two.
I've seen at least six of them. So
you obviously love dinosaurs more than I do.
I do.
Jeff is here as well.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Do you love dinosaurs, Jeff?
Especially in Terrence Malick films.
How do you feel about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom?
I think that was one of the worst movies of, was that last year?
Last year, yeah.
My kids are obsessed with that movie.
My six-year-old
wants to watch it over and over and over
again. So I'm assuming you've seen it, or at least
I own it.
Yeah, it's. I think it's really awful. Like it.
I like Jurassic World.
It felt like a Jurassic World movie for like maybe the first 30 minutes, and then it was like, "Hey, what if we were inside of a mansion?" And then like all these things were in cages, and I was just like, and that was like not the only problem with it. Like everything was wrong with that movie, but
right.
Yeah, I liked the first one. I know a lot of
people I like Jurassic World. I think it's
I thought it was fun. Yeah, it's stupid.
I think Jurassic Park is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think Lost World is vile trash.
Agreed.
I've never seen 2 or 3. I don't care.
3 is entertaining. It's not good, but it's entertaining.
Okay. So Tony and I are on the same page with the Jurassic.
Not all of them, yeah. But this last one, Fallen.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
But my kids love dinosaurs. They love watching dinosaurs rip people to shreds, and that's entertaining.
That is entertaining.
And that's all that matters.
Earl, where do you stand on the Jurassic Park movies?
One is clearly a masterpiece. I think I'm one of those weird people who prefers 3 over 2.
Oh, so you're right here with Tony and I.
Why is that weird? 2 is a bad, bad, bad film.
No, it is, but most people tend to think it's diminishing returns, so 2 is better than 3.
I bet most of the people who think that haven't actually seen 3. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, and I think that because Jeff Goldblum's not in the second one, he's in the third one.
Jeff Goldblum is in the second one.
He's in the second one, yeah.
And who comes back in the third one?
Grant, it's, Alan Grant.
Yep. So Sam Neill is back.
Sam Neill, yeah.
But yeah, and then I actually do enjoy Jurassic World, but I will give it the caveat, I've only seen it once.
Same.
But okay, I've
seen it a bunch of times because my kids love all of these movies, so we watch them repeatedly.
Okay, so I've been meaning to rewatch that, but I'm like, I enjoy it. I know a lot of people don't necessarily care for it, and I don't want to ruin that good thing that I had going for it.
Fair.
I think if you haven't seen it in a long time, it won't ruin it for you. It's fun.
At honestly speaking, it can't be worse than Fallen Kingdom.
No, it's not even close. No contest.
Which, I mean, they're only on Jurassic Park or Jurassic World for like 10 minutes. And then it's Dino Crisis.
Let's destroy the place where the dinosaurs are and then, I don't know.
Have this weird-ass auction bullshit. And
It's funny. It's like, it's maybe the most successful Jurassic Park movies actually take place at the park,
which
is 1, 1 like 3, that, and 4.
Yeah, you know, that like deliver the concept that's on the poster. Yeah. but the other thing I just remembered about Fallen Kingdom is the stupid concept about how like they were developing like this super fucking.
Oh, and she's like, the clone.
Well, it was like, hey, if you point a red light at someone,
oh my god,
And I was like, you know what? There's guns that have red sights on it, and the bullet goes across that length, and it hits the person and kills them, too. You don't have to spend $1 billion developing a fucking dinosaur that does the same thing, basically. Like, there's right. so many stupid ideas in it. God, that movie's so bad, dude.
We're gonna laser sight for the...
For a diet, like guns not work? I mean, they seem to work. They're doing a perfectly good job of killing people every day. So I don't need dinosaurs on top of it. You know,
I don't know. I think wars would be
a lot cooler,
much more entertaining if we fought with dinosaurs. Though
you got a bunch of guys standing out there with laser sights and dinosaurs.
Yeah. All right. We don't talk about games on this show. No, until the last time we talked about snacks.
Does anyone have any snacks lined up for tonight?
Don't. I'm drinking Dr. Pepper, though.
I had a cupcake. It was my niece's first birthday, so we had... It's a really nice day. I guess this is... They made a cake out of cupcakes in the shape of a one, and it's really adorable. But I'm learning as I get old, I really do not care much for frosting.
That's wrong.
I would trade you. I don't really want the cake. give me the sugar.
The best part is the top.
Just inject the sugar directly into my veins.
You want like the corner that has like the lettering and all the stuff on it. So you get maximum frosting.
I can't diss too much frosting.
With this like conglomeration of cupcakes, right? There's probably more frosting on some of these than
And because it's not a cupcake, I mean, it is a cupcake, but because it's the shape of a cake, like some of it is just like the frosting's overtaking the cupcake shape itself.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
So, yeah.
You can send all your icing to us. We're fine.
So I have a bunch of fun-sized Twix. Love Twix.
I love those.
Twix are good.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to have one right now because... You guys put snacks in the
You know,
now.
When I was a young kid, I don't know what the deal was. I didn't, like, care for Twix as much as any of the other, like, candy bars, but I'd say it's in my top five now.
You got, like, the cookiness and the, like, the caramel.
Against that, yeah, it's like...
And you've got two of them. Like...
It's perfect.
And I can't find them all the time anymore, but I like the ones where they... I like the regular standard Twix, but I like the ones where they replace the caramel with peanut butter.
I thought you were going to say cookies and cream.
No, do they?
I don't think so. I don't like the peanut butter ones either. I like the classic, just the original.
I mean, I love the classic ones, but I love the peanut butter ones too. If I could find them, they're good stuff. All right. Well, so Earl had cupcakes. Tony has Twix. Jeff, do you have any snacks?
You'll have to come back to me. Maybe I'll just interject randomly when we're talking about
I'm just like snack central here. I have everything. I have like Cheez-Its. I have my organic Doritos that Jeff doesn't believe exist. I got
organic Doritos.
What now?
What are organic Doritos?
They're like organic white cheddar Doritos. They're delicious. It's the best kind of Dorito.
You can only get in DC.
You can eat a bunch of them and not get that weird feeling in your stomach. Like, I'm all for that.
That weird feeling like I've eaten too many of these weird nacho chips.
That's right.
Yeah. That is a gross feeling, but Doritos are so tasty.
But you don't get that feeling, the organic ones. Which means there's something in the other ones that gives you that.
it's a natural feeling that maybe it's a chemical they put in there to give your body this feeling. Hey, you should stop eating Doritos now because you're going to get sick because you've eaten the whole bag. Don't open that other bag. Stop.
Oh, you opened the other bag. Yeah. That's a thing.
And now I'm just covered in Dorito dust, and my controller doesn't work anymore because there's Dorito dust all over it. I've died from a Dorito coma.
Dorito that.
All right. Well, we, you know, in between talking about snacks and vacations and
that's the fun stuff.
Yeah, we sometimes play games, which I suppose are meant to be fun.
Right? It can be fun.
I mean, it's been a light summer, in my opinion, outside of like a couple games. Like, there have been a couple games, but I just feel like...
I mean, I think we talked about this at the start of the year. It's going to be a light year in general.
Yeah,
it is. There's not like any big hitter for the fall where you're like, I can't wait for that. Like, it's all just like, yeah, I'll play that, I guess.
Yeah, there's a few games that are like Outer Worlds sounds cool.
I'm getting it.
Yeah. Sounds fine. Gears of War, okay. Gears of War might be the highlight right now.
Yeah, that's the one I'm most excited for. So
that's soon.
Very soon, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a weird year. Like, and it's weird too because before the year started, and I think this kind of happens every year, you're like, well, next year's going to be amazing.
For you, at least.
I thought there was a lot coming out this year, and yeah, it's like the things I wanted were delayed. Like,
I don't think that's the case this year, because, I mean...
No, really, there were things, dude. Metroid Prime?
That was it at the end of last year, so you wouldn't come into this year with that in mind.
They said a couple years ago, 2019.
No, but I thought it was delayed at the end of last year.
No, it was delayed in like March or something weird.
It wasn't. It was much earlier than that.
I'm calling March. Someone look it up. But Animal Crossing? I thought there was zero chance in hell that Animal Crossing would get delayed. They like copy and paste that series. There's nothing to do with it, you know.
you don't copy and paste it.
I mean, that's how it feels for most of them. I mean, this one does look a little different, I guess, but I just thought there's no way that's going to get delayed, you know? And that would have been a big one for me.
You both were a little off. It was delayed this year, Jeff, but it was delayed
in January.
So
yeah, okay. And I think Sony... what's the game that Sony delayed into the year?
The Last of Us?
Was that this year?
I don't know. Did they delay it?
I think they did.
I know, but I don't.
It's obviously not coming out.
I mean, I wasn't looking forward to it, but yeah, that was a big one. It just feels like, especially this year, just like all the things that were like really worth looking forward to got delayed, and you're left with like Luigi's Mansion, which is cool.
There's been a lot of really good strategy games.
That doesn't count. No one plays that.
This is always gonna be like a transition year where people dump a lot of projects. Like, the only people who aren't going through a transition are Nintendo, and it would, you know, it's also why they technically would have the strongest sign up this year. As far as he's a platform holder goes.
Yeah, like I mean, I think Nintendo has had the strongest year
out of
like first party games. For me, I'm looking forward to Gears 5 and to Jedi Fallen Order, so I'll be fine over the next 4 months.
And I'm cautiously optimistic about the Star Wars game. Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
And I mean, for better or worse, I also feel like companies don't hype their games up the same way the last 2 years. Like, you're not getting games announced 2-3 years out that build up anticipation. Like, Star Wars was already announced at E3
last year.
Well, I mean, as far as like being
what about like and... Kingdom Hearts? Come on.
But yeah, I mean,
well,
but
I don't think that's what Earl's talking about here. I think he's talking about the exact opposite, right? Is like,
yeah,
they announced games like that like 10 years ago, and then we get on this hype train, and eventually burns out, and Kingdom Hearts comes, and now nobody's even talking about it.
That's right.
Like, or even you'll announce it, but Gears of War, they announced it as E3, then we didn't really see anything until this E3, and then the game's out next month.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion was revealed, we didn't see anything until E3, it's out in October. You know, at the start of the year, we didn't know about Pokemon Sword and Shield, we didn't know about... Astral Chain, we didn't know about Link's Awakening Remastered. We didn't really see the Star Wars game until E3. Borderlands 3 was already announced in May. Stuff like that.
Yeah. There's definitely a slower or a quicker cycle, I guess. They're slower to announce those games now. Which is sad for Jeff. he comes in every year, and on all of the shit that he wants to play gets delayed anyway. So.
And it's just always the things that I like. It just seems. And sometimes it makes sense. Like, yeah, Zelda always gets delayed. Like, it always gets delayed. So I just want to believe when you say something's coming out, like, especially if you say like years out, like Metroid Prime, it's coming out in 2019. You're like, all right, I have that to look forward to.
Well, I think Metroid Prime is a completely different beast altogether because I don't, like we discussed when it was announced, there are not many games I could think of where the company straight up came up and said, like, we didn't get this to work, we're starting from scratch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. And I think the other thing...
I would love to see what... I would love to see what they did on Metroid Prime 4. Like, do you think we'll ever get to see any footage of that?
No. I think that, I mean, some of that stuff usually leaks eventually.
I think it would be interesting.
Rest in Pierce. Peace.
Yeah. But what was I? Oh, I was going to say the other thing is a lot of the, you know, with a lot of transitions to games as services, like the big hype isn't necessarily always about like what's new, but like what new content is coming. And I think part of the problem with that this year was when Anthem was kind of this big benchmark title for EA and kind of came out the gate and shat the bed. Like it kind of killed a lot of momentum on that end. Like Overwatch is the other, you know, is a big games as service. But it's also kind of getting on in the tooth now. It's 3 or 4 years old. Like, adding one or new characters isn't going to do as much. The same thing with Minecraft. I think Minecraft had that huge update this year to playing together stuff. And I assume for the Minecraft community, that was a huge deal. But for a lot of other people, that kind of came and went. With
right.
No
like, how many new people are jumping into Minecraft at this point?
Yeah.
Little kids. That's about it.
Right.
And even something like Destiny. Destiny has its big DLC 2 this year. And I think it will do well with the Destiny audience, but it's not going to really re-engage a whole new segment of gamers who didn't play Destiny or
fell off of it. Like, I am not... I enjoyed Destiny. I enjoyed Destiny 2, but... I didn't even play all the way through Forsaken, and I can't see myself buying Shadowkeep.
Yeah.
At least not in the near future. So. But a game that did come out that I believe we might have all played is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. I believe, Jeff, you and Earl talked about it previously.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jeff, you've beaten it, right?
Yep.
I have now played through chapter 8. I think I'm on chapter 9. Earl, did you finish it?
I have.
Tony, God, have you played it at all?
I played through the prologue and stopped.
That might be a good call.
Oh no.
I don't know. It's fine. I don't know. I don't know if that's where you and Earl, you and Jeff come down on it, but I am not like super impressed by this. It is long. It's overly repetitive. There, you need to grind some levels out just to advance in the main campaign. I am not in love with this game.
The opposite. I liked it a lot. I think the combat feels good. I think it's fun as hell playing solo, switching up between the four characters on the fly, like going to whoever has their extreme ready. I like changing out who your team is, and found some of the boss fights interesting and kind of more going on than I expected. Like, there's one where I was stuck on this boss fight forever because I could not figure out, like, I guess the idea was you had to, like, pick up these things that were laying around and then absorb a hit.
And the Dark World, yes.
So, yeah, you had to, like, be carrying a thing around, absorb a hit from the boss, and that would, like, energize.
Yeah.
And then throw it. And I was trying to beat him just straight up, and I actually got close a couple times. But, yeah, once you, like, you know... It was more, you know, it wasn't just like, hey, here's a boss with a life meter, beat him up. It was a puzzle to it. There was a puzzle to it. So, like, I appreciated that.
There was a guy the entire time telling you over and over.
On the audio? Like, saying something?
throw the shit at him.
Well, no, okay, because I'm with Jeff.
That's me not paying attention.
Yeah, because I picked it up and I threw it. The game does not do a good job of telling you that.
Yes, you have to take the ray and then you glow and then you throw.
Yes,
I think I was throwing stuff at him, but I was like, all right, this is not a big deal.
Is it Vision that's giving you instruction there? Somebody's giving you instruction.
But yeah, it's not during the boss battle. It's during like one of. It's like they introduce it earlier in that stage when you have to break down the gate or something. Yes. And I was throwing it. I'm like, this is doing like no damage whatsoever. And I think it was only by accident I picked up one and I got shot. I'm like, wait, why am I going? And then I just threw it and then it did massive damage. And that's when I understood it. Because the other thing that's also not necessarily explained is it has to be something that's aimed at you. Because I think that boss battle, for instance, there are times when they will, like, there will be stuff that pops up from the ground, and that would negate.
Yeah, if that. You get hit while, like, while you're holding it, you'll lose the power.
Yes, but if you get hit, but because you're supposed to have them hit you with certain attacks, but they can't, like, it can't be a physical attack, and it can't be something that would not come through the crystal.
Yes.
Yes, but I am kind of with Jeff on this. I actually really enjoyed the game. I get your point with the leveling up, but at the same time, they tend to give you characters around the level you would need for the boss, and I think that was, you know, it was always wise to kind of switch in one of those characters. But to your point,
I don't like those characters.
I was usually like when I would get a new character, like say when I got Black Panther, he would be like one level or two levels above the guys I've been playing the whole game. So I was like, I was happy to swap in whoever I got new for someone I didn't, you know, care for on the team or it was similar.
I got to a point, and it's still where I'm at, where I was struggling with the bosses at around the level the game was saying. So I was like, fuck this, and I would just go out and do infinity challenges to level my guys up.
I did almost none of that. In fact, I don't think I did any of that.
But I like leveled myself up, so I'm like over leveled now because I was not having fun playing it at the regular pace. I'm like, I'm gonna just power level myself to beat it. I don't know. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I am not having a ton of fun with it.
It's honestly near the top of the year, like games of the year for me, but
oh god,
I don't expect that to hold. I expect there to be a few games that I, you know, push it down on the
list. Like I'll say this, it's currently in my top 10, but I've only played 20 games, so
yeah, I've played even less than that, and it would be I think I don't want to spoil anything, but like Resident Evil is up there for me, Bloodstained is up there, and these are like all kind of three of my favorites so far, but I don't think any of them hold. Well, I think one of them holds.
And I was also going to say, because I've played this single player, and I've also played online, and you'll agree with friends, is I do think part of the game was designed more around co-op with people, because there's certain elements, especially with boss battles, where some of those boss battles become so much easier when they're not just focusing on you, and you can kind of get around them and stuff like that. And it also helps with a lot of the Infinity Trials, where a lot of them, especially the ones that are like, do this in like 2.5 minutes, where it's like you'd have to play perfectly as a human, playing all four characters, but as with the teammate, it's much easier to kind of get that because the AI is kind of bad.
The AI is stupid.
Yeah, I especially a minor spoiler, the Ultron fight. There are times during the Ultron fights where he will just shoot at a giant that do massive damage. And almost without fail, every time that happens, the AI will just stand in the way of the beams the entire time.
Yep. And to the point where they will get themselves killed, and then you need to spend one of your revives to pick them up.
Yes, and that's the big issue because you get 3 per fight, and the computer's like, "Oh no, we're gonna take ourselves out." So you don't, and then once because if they're down, especially that early in the game, I think Ultron's like what Avengers Tower, so that's like World 2. Is that you don't have a lot of characters who are able up enough to do a ton of synergy, so you kind of form a team that has a few synergies, and one person goes down, that can really scope out of your strategy.
Yep. And I do see that there's a couple, like, when you said about design for co-op, like some of those boxes that you find that have the, like they're the special boxes.
Yeah.
That have the items in them. There are some that are hidden behind you needing to do like two powers.
Yeah.
And
synergy attacks.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to do single player.
Well, actually, it's easier to do on your own.
No, because when it's like, oh, do this power move. I guess if you have leveled up all of your characters and like you can find the one that has one that's a delay, but like trying to get to punch things at one time, like I'm just having such a hard time.
Wait, how are you doing it? Because the synergy attacks makes that almost too easy with the computer.
Then my AI is a complete idiot because they're not doing shit.
Are you using the right bumper or the right trigger?
I don't know.
Okay, because you can, like, I don't know if you're doing the move. It sounds like you're doing the move and hoping the computer hops on. When synergies will just do the move automatically for you, and that usually takes care of it, no problem.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I'm having trouble opening those.
I had no problem with it. I had more problems with it when I was playing with friends, because trying to sync it up so that you're actually timing it at the same time is so much harder than just pressing the button and the computer doing what you tell them to do.
Yeah, the computer never does what I tell them to do, so maybe I'm pressing the wrong button. But I don't know. It's fine, I guess. I'm not like super engaged with it. I wish there was maybe more customization outside of just the characters.
Yeah, it's also kind of, and I get it. I enjoy it, but yeah, the whole RPG element of the game is almost non-existent. Because you don't really have a skill, like you have four moves. That's it. Like you automatically unlock those four moves. And over the course of the game, you're going to unlock enough points to put it in Artem anyhow. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And like the biggest RPG element is the ISOs, where it's like, oh, I do like 5% more damage or and it's like such tiny portion.
Yeah, it's like, oh, 4% more vitality or.
Yeah.
Like whatever. Well, I'm glad you guys liked it. I think it looks fine. Yeah. Actually, I think it looks pretty good. And I played most of it in handheld while I was on vacation. I think it plays pretty well in that mode.
I will say this much. I mean, and it's not the type of game you pay for a story, but since it has one, it's really weird how the story's handled, because like it's. Like you get all the Infinity Gems. They're taken from you by the bad guys. Then you fight the bad guys again, and the bad guys give it back to you. And I'm just like, did you folks just run out of time here? Like, why are you just handing it over?
You can have them now.
Yeah,
I think that's right where I'm at. Is they just took them. I got them all, and they just took them all. They took them away from me.
Yeah. And you would think, oh, they have all of them. They're going to, like you've seen in Endgame, you've seen in Infinity War, you get them all, you use them. But for some reason, they decide, no, we're going to split them up again and have you fight these boss battles. And every time you beat a boss, they're just going to hand it over to you. And I'm like, why?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. Outside of Marvel, have you guys played anything else?
Ooh, I've played things.
Okay.
What have you played with, Jeff?
I've actually mostly been playing the GameCube, which I think I brought up maybe the last time we recorded. It's been so long that I don't remember.
Yeah, but... you talked about having the GameCube set up or that you were going to set it up.
You were playing Pikmin 1, I think, at the time.
Yes.
Yeah, I beat that. I'm playing Pikmin 2 now. I played Metroid Prime 2 because I was like, you know, I've played Metroid Prime a million times. Let's give Part 2 another shot. And I gave up on that once I reached the one of the bosses. Like, it's the Charge Bomb Guardian. he just sucks. It's like he like rolls up into a ball and like charge bombs all around the arena and like, you know, kind of ricochets off the walls and shit. And if he hits you, like, he does major damage. And there's no way to like predict his path. He just like ricochets all over the fucking room. It just sucks. Like, it's not like you can't be good at fighting him. You have to be lucky at not getting hit by him enough times. And so I like, it's fairly early.
Is that the pinball one?
Kind of feels like pinball. Like, he pinballs around the room, you know, like.
But you fall into the mothball. Aren't you supposed to drop bombs in his path so he's.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how and, you know, first couple times I had to figure all that out. But it really is like, when he goes and darts around the room, you have to just, like, kind of, like, hide in the corner and hope you don't get hit. But if he like, accidentally, like, ricochets to right where you are and hits you once or twice, you've lost, like, two or three of your energy pellets, and at this point, I only have three. So I'm just like, if he just kind of like hits you once or twice in a bad way, it's not good. Like, they do drop a bunch of energy pellets throughout the fight, but at some point at the end, there's no more to drop, and it's just like, you could just get unlucky. And on top of it, the boss fight takes place in the dark world, so your health is constantly draining throughout the boss fight as it is.
Yeah, that's the part of the game that was kind of super frustrating for
me. It's like, even if you're good and avoid them at the end there, if you're low on energy, it's just gonna run out. You know, the clock's gonna run out on you. And that's not far in the game. And, you know, I have played the game like three or four times before, and, you know, I usually get past it. But I'm playing like 20-year-old games now, and I'm just like, you know, I have a whole stack of them. I'm like, finally, I was like, you know what? There's a reason I like part one more. So I just kind of put it away. You know, I think part one is like a perfect expression of what Metroid is in a 3D game. Like, it's just perfect. Two is weird. And three, I don't remember liking three that much either. So now I'm kind of worried about part four.
Oh, three's my favorite, but
really?
I mean, I know part of Metroid's appeal is kind of being on this planet, but I did like the fact that you got to planet hop. I thought the motion controls were really nice for it. And, I mean, it is kind of stupid, but I always like those games that kind of give you that really overpowered move, because that was when you got corrupted, and you pretty much could bash through enemies. It's the same way, like, Arkham Origins has the stupid gauntlet gloves that, like, you put on, and it pretty much just negates any defenses that any enemy has. So. Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember that. I have not played 3 since it came out, because I don't like playing the Wii, you know. I really would like to get them, like, do them, like, an HD port of all three of them. Like, we've been rumored forever, you know. Yeah, I have one other funny story I could tell about the GameCube, I guess. Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Good story.
So... So Animal Crossing relies on, like, the big thing about that game is you play it on Halloween in real life, it's Halloween in the game.
Right.
You play it, if you play it at 7:30 at night, it's 7:30 in the game. Well, here's the thing is, so the GameCube has an internal clock in it, and that internal clock is powered by a battery. And the GameCube is, you know, fucking 20 years old now. Almost, you know, it was 18, something like that. That battery is dead in mine, apparently, because, like, the clock just does not work at all. So every time I have to play Animal Crossing, I have to do the, you know, let's adjust the time thing, and, like, which one, that sucks to begin with, but two, I don't know if that's, like, making the game progress correctly, because, like, in one instance, I planted a cherry tree near my house, and then when I changed the clock, it was gone. For the most part, like, mail and stuff is coming and everything is, like, working, but, like, I don't know if that tree just something happened to it. I don't know if Melissa dug it up when I wasn't, you know, she was playing when I wasn't and she dug it up accidentally. I have no idea. But it's just a weird thing that, you know, this hardware eventually is gonna fall apart, and then it's like,
how do you play these games?
If you know, like, Nintendo needs to start preserving that GameCube era. Like, I'd like to see them, you know, we got that remake of Wind Waker, which is fantastic, but I would just love these games to look a little better too, you know.
But, right. Our mutual friend Aaron, I guess he has found a way to, I guess, emulate some of these GameCube games, and he's playing them in HD, like up-resed somehow. So like he's playing Sunshine, and it just like it looks better because of the way he's playing it, and you would want. That's kind of what I want out of this. I want some Nintendo games to like look better and be preserved so I can play them now.
Yeah, it would really be nice.
I was just going to say, because one of the bigger things about Animal Crossing at the time was like it was the first way you got to experience old Nintendo games for the first time in like 15 years. And that is such a, it's because, you know, that kind of evolved to the virtual console, et cetera. So it was novel at the time. It's kind of commonplace now. But that, I mean, for me, at least that was one of the big appeals of the original Animal Crossing game.
I think it's one, yeah, go ahead.
What if, no, Jeff?
Just being able to.
Go ahead, Earl.
What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
I was saying, what if the new Animal Crossing, they have unlockable GameCube games?
Well, that would be game of the year material right there. I mean, look, that's one of the reasons why the original Animal Crossing for me is my favorite, is because it has those games. Like, that was a big prize in them, you know? Like, I still remember the first time getting, like, a Nintendo, and I was like, or a Nintendo game, and I put it down in my house, and it's NES, and I'm like, sweet, can you actually play this? And you could. I was, like, blown away by that. A big part of, I think also what makes the original like my favorite for me is like when that came out, it was a new idea. Like, so, and like as you're playing it, you didn't know what to expect. You didn't know all the little things you could do. Like the whole thing was like a sense of discovery that went on for like a year, you know, where it's like you're seeing every season, there's different things to do, there's different like things to get in every season. Like, and just, you know, like I still remember the first time I was playing, like I'm in college, I'm like shit faced drunk. It's like 3 a.m. I'm playing the game. And all of a sudden, there's a ghost in the town. I was like, what the hell is this? This is amazing. Like, I was so blown away by that game the first time, and it's always been my favorite. But I think it is a big, like, playing it now, I'm like, no, there's new, like, there's little improvements in the newer ones, but they don't have fucking NES games, you know?
I feel like it's one of those, I mean, I'm not a fan of the franchise. I still don't get the appeal. But from what I gather, playing the GameCube one and playing like the 3DS one, like it's one of those franchises that seems to don't change a ton between entries, but it has changed a lot in that time.
Like overall, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's true. I still don't get the appeal of it, so.
I still think that like the core of what the game is has remained pretty much unchanged in a way that like most games don't even do. Like, it's really just like you're going through the same motions every time. All right, I'm trying to get all that.
And I guess the point there is like, how would you change it then? Because it is not driven by. Like, I think that's what didn't appeal to me about the game is like, it's not driven in traditional video game sense. You're not working towards anything. You're just kind of living life as this character. You're not progressing in any clear sense. You're not paying off Tom Nook, because when you do, he's just gonna find another way to gouge you.
That's the only real main progression in the game is paying him off, making your house bigger. But even like the game doesn't make a point of like you don't have to do that, and it makes no point of telling you have to do that. It really does. It even says to you like you could do that or not. Like you don't have to do that. And I think it's part of what makes Animal Crossing special, you're right. But when I play games, like, I tried out that My Time at Porsche game, and it's just like, there's so much going on in this. Like, or like Stardew Valley, like, they're both pretty similar, but it's like, there's mines, and you get deeper and deeper into the mines, there's shit to fight. Like, there's stuff to do, and it feels like more of a progression than Animal Crossing ever does. But I almost wish, honestly, I wish Animal Crossing would go in that direction. It feels natural, like, make it more involved. Make more stuff going on. Like, I don't. You've done the simple, like, just hang out game a billion times, and it's getting a little boring, I think. So, It doesn't look like I don't remember seeing anything in the trailer for the new one where I was like, oh yeah, they're really stepping it up now. Like, it's just like,
it looks very much just like an Animal Crossing game.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Animal Crossing, but it's like that like sense of discovery and a sense of surprise of it's gone now, so it's just not as exciting as it used to be. And I wish they would make it more of a game, like Stardew or My Tent Porsche or something like that.
We've had this discussion before with Mario Kart and Sonic and Crash and stuff like that. It's like I get the point, and I would appreciate it, but it has a huge fan base. It is the game in the genre, so it shouldn't change to be like the other game because they aren't competing with Animal Crossing.
I don't think anyone could complain though. I think even the biggest fans who are still like totally in love with everything that they do, I think be like, oh, this is awesome. I think those mechanics in those other games are fun. Like it.
Oh no, I think, but I
you
mean,
need more of a meter and a sense of progression. Like it, and
I don't think you do though. I think one of the biggest I think differences with Animal Crossing is that its appeal is a lot driven by female gamers, and I think in that case a lot of them don't necessarily want that feedback loop that a lot of us want, because they from what I've heard from who I've spoken to, a lot of them, it's about making friends with their neighbors, it's about getting to know these people, like their feedback loop is keeping them happy, checking in and day out to make sure they haven't moved out, that they aren't upset, that their fruits are growing, and that's feedback. That's a type of feedback. It may not be that my XP bar filled up and I'm level 25 now, or that there's a giant boss battle, but it's something.
I think there's a way to do it where you can still play it that way, and you know this other stuff is not shoved in your face that's something you have to do. And I also think I think that what you're saying is more true to someone who's new to video games, as opposed to I think most girls, if they played this whole series, I think they'd be like me, where they're getting kind of bored of like the same old thing over and over. Like, I don't know. I could ask my girlfriend, but it's kind of hard for her to judge. She's playing this series for the first time just now, you know. So she's enjoying it, but like even her, she's like, there's not as much to do as you would think.
Well, and she has since. Like, well, prior to her playing Animal Crossing, she's like tried out like Stardew Valley, right? Like,
she has not played Stardew Valley. She's watched me play it though. She plays like town simulation games on her phone though, and I don't know. Like, there's one that she's been playing for fucking like years. It's like a free to play game, and she's actually like kind of like maxed out everything in it without paying for anything. I don't know what it's called. It looks stupid as hell, but. Like, just like what I've seen her play, that looks like it's way more one of those where you're like constantly managing things. So, like, you know, so I think that's why
she does not narrow that down in the mobile space.
It's like every other mobile game, then.
Yeah, but so like, but she's used to something more that's more like frantic like that. And this is just like so laid back, and it does kind of feel like there's nothing to do. Like, You turn it on, you run your tasks, you're done in like 20 minutes, do that again.
Yeah, and I think some people are fine with that. I think most people are fine with that. I think it's one of those things where, again, I would appreciate it having more game elements, but I'm not the target audience because I'm saying I would appreciate it, but I've not played Animal Crossing since the GameCube version because it doesn't appeal to me. So it doesn't make any sense for Nintendo to try to appeal to me when you have 15 million people buying the game as it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, as a big fan of the series, I want to see it evolve, too. I just... it's fine, but, like, I would love to see it evolve.
And I think it's evolved in the sense... I mean, from what I gathered, a lot of it is the social aspect.
They've had a lot more, farms, yeah.
I mean, visiting other people's towns, gathering fruits from different areas, you know, like...
It's, again, it's like, dude, alright, you visit somebody's town... You just stand there next to them, like, hi. like, why can't I play checkers with you? Or, you know what I mean? Stupid shit like that in there. Like,
no, that I agree with. I do think that this should, like, especially once they got rid of, like, the Nintendo games in the original, is that as far as I can tell, there's not a lot of activities to do in game.
You literally like, you just could stand
fish
there
and dig. But yeah, like why not have like some, especially from Nintendo, like why not have some weird little mini games in there that you can do together?
Yeah, like I have chess. If I have a chess game in my house, then we could go sit down and play it. Like you need to, at the very least, that would be like a very natural progression of the series. You know, just put a bunch of little mini shit in it. Like more than like, you know, because like they haven't really added on to fishing, fossils, and whatever the hell else element. Like it's just like those couple of things, and then you're just like, all right, well, I've done all that. I mean, when the game did first come out, though, I would play it for like hours on end. But now it's just like, yeah, you turn on.
I was also gonna say, I don't think it's the type of game you're supposed to play on hours on it. Which I mean, Animal Crossing is essentially a predecessor to mobile titles. It's games that you kind of play a couple of minutes per day just to make progress and make sure everything doesn't go to hell while you're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just, you know, when it was brand new, I didn't even think of it like that or anything. It was just like, I'm just...
You were exploring
what's going on in this world. Yeah, like, it was constantly like, you know, every week there's different things going on, and like, it casts that spell at first, too, where you don't see, like, the seams of everything, and then, like, eventually, like, all right, structure of this, like, you could go fishing, you could do this and that. Like, now I know it going in, and it's just like, there's very little surprises. Anyways, that's what I've been playing.
You want to give us your Sims 4 update?
Oh yeah, I've been playing that as well. So there are all the like DLC is on sale for it.
Okay.
And it's still very expensive. Like, like even at half price it's expensive and there's a lot of it. But I finally broke down. I mean, this is something I've been like complaining about for years on here, is that like the base game of Sims 4 feels almost like less than some of the previous games. And then, like, it looks like it would be really awesome if you owned all the DLC, which I probably never will, because you're talking hundreds of dollars you'd have to pay to make this a full game.
Okay.
But I bought, again, like, all of it's on sale, at least, like, 25% off. Like, all the big ones, I think, or most of the big ones are on sale 50% off. I bought a bundle thing that has the Seasons expansion. It has something called Jungle Adventure, which I have not really explored at all yet. I don't even know how to. I'm sure it's like if you go somewhere, there's like an option. And then it also includes spooky items, which are like Halloween shit. So that's awesome. And that was like $25. It said it would normally be $50 for that bundle. But I guess it's nice to have Seasons in the game now, you know?
So you can have winter and fall.
It's goes through it all pretty quick. It seems like each season is 7 days long in the game, which is like no time at all.
No.
It does also seem to be like there's like holiday events. So there was one for the summer. I forgot the hell I was doing. I had to do something, and like you got some sort of reward. I imagine there's something for like Halloween and Christmas as well. But yeah, I'm rocking some like jack-o'-lanterns in front of my house and shit. Like it's nice little, you know, I made a new character and I'm going to play through it again. It's nice to have all, like Seasons is definitely an improvement to the game, but it's just like, it doesn't make sense that one, it wasn't included. And two, if like you're going to release it as an expansion, like I just feel it's a little expensive for what all, like, and I imagine this is true for all DLC, like for what it is, it's like, dude, like, so I think the normal price for Seasons is $40, which is like a full expansion price for a game. But all it's doing is adding like a calendar to your game, and like, you know, there's snow in the winter. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, it's adding some other stuff too. But like, that seems like a really outrageous price for what it is. And it's like even the file size is like it's like a gig. Here you go. But yeah, I mean, it's cool that my Sims game is a little better now, I guess. Like, I don't regret buying it, honestly. Like, I think it's really cool, like, the added stuff. Like, I always wanted the season pack. But that was added in part two. It should have been, like, part of the game. Like, that's what bugs me. But, anyways, yeah, it's a little better now.
Yeah, good. Earl, you played some stuff?
Yes. But before I talk, I wanted Tony to, because we've not heard from Tony in like 6 years.
Wait, so who's Tony?
He's still here.
He's still here. I'm invisible. I don't exist.
This means it's time for Jeff to make a drink.
What? No, I'm going to talk about Madden, your favorite.
This means
game.
It's time for Jeff to take a drink. I actually kind of want to hear about this. Actually, I will be back real quick. Hold on. But go ahead.
Great. So I've been playing Madden. They have a new mode this year, Face of the Franchise mode. It's a story-based mode, kind of like they've had the two previous years.
So like long shot.
Right. Long shot and whatever one was before long shot. Whatever one that was.
Well, I think long shot was the first one.
You're right. Long shot was first, and then the other last year was like long shot two or whatever the hell it was. Only now it's Face of the Franchise. So you're playing as a quarterback who was like the number 7 quarterback recruit nationwide. So he's like, you know, he's in demand, people want him, he can go wherever he wants to go. So you get to choose what college is going to recruit you, and then as soon as you choose that, the number 1 quarterback recruit in the country decides to go to the same college. So instead of like giving you like a college experience where you get to beat him out, your quarterback, like no quarterback in the history of college recruiting, decides that he's just going to ride it out. He's just going to stay in college. So you get to the end of his senior year, he hasn't played a single game. And you get to play, and the quarterback, the number 1 recruit quarterback, gets injured. So you have to play the two games of the college football playoff.
Okay.
The last two. And those are the only two games of your college career. You end up in like a training session before the first game. You play the first game, you play the second game, and then you go to the combine, which is like a mini training session, and then it's over. That's the whole mode.
So there's no like actual narrative or anything. It's just
there's some like story bits thrown in there.
It doesn't sound anywhere near as deep as the previous 2 years, though.
It's super short. I think you could get through the whole thing in maybe an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
And then it dumps you into, you take the quarterback that you made in that mode and can bring him into franchise mode and play as him, as your franchise player.
So it's just like a preview for
a franchise mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't normally play franchise mode as a player. They have kind of made that part of it a bit more robust, so it's a little more valuable. Like there's like quests to complete that will give you XP. If you're playing against teams that have specific like talented players, like a really good cornerback and your quarterback, that those players will like call you out. And you can decide how you want to respond. And based on your response, you'll get like a quest of varying difficulty. So like if I'm quarterback, I'm going against the Patriots. Because here's the other funny part is that you're going to end up playing for the Dolphins, no matter who you are.
Okay.
Because it makes the worst possible team in Madden draft you. Which is the Dolphins. Sorry, Chris.
Awesome.
Are you a Dolphins
there
fan?
Yes, I am a Dolphins. There are worse teams.
Why?
Not this year, there's not, Chris. I mean, to be honest.
I bet they're better than some other teams this year.
The team that's going to give them a run for the money, I think, is Arizona. But they're going to be pretty bad. Anyway, so... You're playing as quarterback of the Dolphins. You're playing New England. Tom Brady will call you out. And you can decide, you know, okay, I want to be, like, respectful for Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's going to call out this rookie quarterback?
If you decide to be respectful, your quest will be to beat the Patriots. If you decide to, like, try to intimidate Tom Brady, like, you know, I think you're good, but I think I'm awesome and I'm going to win and blah. Your quest will be like to beat the Patriots and throw 2 touchdown passes. And then you can be, you can choose to be disrespectful to Tom Brady. Be like, you cocksucker, football deflator, whatever the fuck you are. And then your quest will be to beat the Patriots, throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns or something like that. So you can decide how well you think you're going to do and base your response on that. So there's kind of like more RPG elements now to playing as a franchise player.
Okay.
I don't know, but the fact that they're going to dump you on the Dolphins, who are terrible, by the way, in Madden, there's like no offensive line. Their skill players all suck.
There is no offensive line in Miami. There's absolutely not.
It's like you better get used to throwing like quick slant passes and that kind of stuff. If you're going to try to get the ball down the field, you're going to get hammered. I've gone through games now where my quarterback's been sacked like 6 or 7 times.
I mean, that's basically what happened to Ryan Tannehill his entire career. So,
yeah. It's funny. Go ahead.
I was like, if Tannehill played for the Titans in their first preseason game, and with a little bit of protection, he was able to produce. So, it's like...
so he has a fruitful career as a backup to
Mariota, which is actually a nice place. Injured.
Yes.
So. Anything else out of Madden?
I was gonna say it's kind of weird playing as the franchise quarterback though, because I'm picking the plays. So you're choosing what plays you want to run on offense. It's very odd.
And as a rookie quarterback, you would not.
Right. Have an option. And I feel like in previous iterations as Madden, when you played as a player, they would pick the play for you.
Yes.
Now, if you were the quarterback, you could audible to a different play. But you'd be stuck with what was like possible out of the formation you were in or in the personnel.
Right.
But here you're like, you're straight up offensive coordinator. I'm calling the entire play and the offense and whatever. So now, of course, since I'm quarterback, we never run the ball. And by the way, whenever my team calls a running play, it ends up losing like 3 yards because the AI sucks at running the ball. I swear I watched the running back do this every time. I'll call a dive play right up the middle. The running back will run straight up to the line of scrimmage, stop, with a gaping hole in the middle in front of him, and try to run the ball outside around the tackle. Of course, now he's got to go backwards and go around and ends up losing 2 yards. This is every single running play that I call. Like, screw that. I'm just going to throw the ball.
Yeah, why wouldn't
every
you just,
play? So my quarterback is averaging like 475 yards a game because all I do is like throw. So I'm having fun. It's not football, but it's fun.
No, that's not football. that's goofy.
Yeah. So I have set the all-time yardage mark for rookie quarterback in a season, yards in a game. I had 3 consecutive games where I threw for more than 500 yards. it's ridiculous.
Oh, Madden. So any other changes to the game? Or?
There are players who have like X-factor abilities. So if you do a certain thing, so the Dolphins suck. So the only player with an X-factor ability on their offense is me. My player is a field general type quarterback, which means if I complete 3 passes in a row that are more than 5 yards, I unlock an ability where the first receiver to come open will flash, like the button over him will flash. So I'll know who to throw the ball to.
Yeah, that's weird. That kind of like removes the main element of the game to me. Because I'm always like, I think I got it. I'm wrong. I fucking throw interceptions and shit. But
I guess that's what this is. It's like a bonus. Like you've gone hot, right? Like
right. So you can tell. The funny thing is though, I always find like it's always the checkdown guy that flashes first. I'm like, okay, but I called this play for like a 15-yard in route, and that route hasn't even finished running yet, and you're like flashing somebody else.
Yeah, of course he's going to be the first one open.
Right. Okay, I'll look over there when I see if my other guy's actually open. So it's a nice ability to have. It's just not doing me any good because I'm still like reading the field actually.
And do they get, like, I would assume other players have different X factor abilities, right? Like,
yeah, no, there's a bunch of them. Some of them let your players automatically break the first tackle, for instance.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. And as your player levels up, they'll get like certain bonuses. Like my player, if he's standing in the pocket, not moving his feet, is super accurate. Like that's an ability he has. So, yeah.
It seems like almost like this stuff almost seems a little more arcadey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I like it, but
I'm once I I just started the playoffs, so I have to, when I win the Super Bowl with the Dolphins for you, Chris, then I'm going to start my actual franchise as the Patriots, and we'll see how Madden actually plays.
Ah.
But
not this ridiculousness.
No, not this insanity that is not football.
All right, you also played Wargroove?
Wargroove, which is a strategy game that came out this year. Because there's been a bunch of strategy games this year, all for Jeff. But Wargroove is on Game Pass. They put it on Game Pass for PC, so that's where I've been playing it.
Okay.
It's kind of this cutesy old style strategy game. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of depth to it. It's really cartoony. The intro to the game is very like anime-esque. What were you gonna say, Earl?
I was gonna say, is it an advanced war?
It's very advanced war, like almost exactly, but it's like it's not modern. It's like I don't know. You're fighting skeletons with knights far.
More fantasy, medieval fantasy based.
Yeah, and you have like a commander on the field who has special abilities. If they like kill a certain number of enemies, they unlock their groove. I hate this. It's like they're out there dancing in the middle of the battle or something, which lets them, depending on what your commander's abilities are, can like heal units or bring somebody back from the dead or whatever. I don't know. It's fine.
All right. Play anything else?
I finished my campaign in Total War Three Kingdoms, which was really fun to play through. However, unlike a lot of the other Total War campaigns, there's no like epic conclusion battle.
Okay, like to end out the campaign.
Yeah, so it kind of just petered out because, you know, as you play through the game, you're empire gets stronger, you have better units, blah blah blah, so you'd like to have like a challenge at the end that's worthy of everything that you've put together, right?
And right,
it just doesn't happen. I mean, maybe I outplayed the PC, like maybe I was just better at it than the AI was, because I did have a couple battles where the AI was facing me down with all these they'd have three heroes in their army, and they're all really strong, and they were actually stronger than the heroes in my army, but I just had like whittled them down before the battle so that they were like at quarter strength, and they didn't even make it to my lines because they got killed by archers. So
oops.
Yeah, I don't know, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Definitely one of the better Total War games.
Nice.
I think I might play through it again, a higher difficulty, different starting choice. But you know, I had a lot of fun with it.
Nice, Earl. What have you got for us?
I played a crap ton of Slay the Spire this weekend.
It's like a card-based game.
It's a card-based roguelike RPG. which sounds like a bunch of made up buzzwords. But it's, I mean, that is what it is, but it's essentially kind of a dungeon crawler. I mean, I guess technically it's more of a gauntlet. You go through a map and you kind of pick the path that you want to be on, and the path will take you through enemy encounters, you know, item shops, resting spots, mini bosses and the bosses. And then the point is, as you go through this, you pick up items and cards and stuff like that. And that's kind of where the random element comes in, as far as like what type of deck you get, what type of deck you build, is based off the cards you get after battle, the ones you find in these random encounters, the ones you get from the gift shop. And it's just a really addictive, simple pick-up-and-play card game. It's a card game, it's an RPG, but it doesn't really kind of abuse it in... I don't know if any of you played by Inkaidos, where it's a card-based RPG where there's a very strict numerical system in place to combo and stuff like that. This doesn't really have the same thing. You essentially have a set number of skill points that you can play every round. So you can, if you know, default is 3. So if you have 3, you can play 3 action cards at a 1/1/1. You can play 1 card that's a 3. You can play a card that's a 2 and a 1. There's some cards that are worth 0, and you can play it, you know, as much as those as you want. And it's just trying to find a way to maximize your deck in each encounter to, you know, beat the battle, not take too much damage, because there isn't a ton of places to heal yourself. And then it's 3 different characters. The main character, I'm not going to remember their name, but the main character, the default character, revives 6 health after every battle, and that's their special ability. The second one is a master of poison, and they start off each one with, I think, 2 additional cards in hand. And then the last one is more of a magic user, orbs. And yeah, and their special ability is like, if they have lightning, that will discharge after every round in combat. So, that's getting too into the weeds, I guess. But what I find it really addictive, it's one of those games that's very easy to pick up and play, and then you find yourself spending 3 hours in front of the TV.
Oh, no.
Just because because so much of it is not even the battles, but what you decide after the battles. Because, again, a card-based game, you would think, oh, like the first time I played through it, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get all the cards I can get. And then you just kind of realize, like, at some point, you actually don't want to do that. Because if you have 50 cards in your deck, it just means that it's harder and harder to get the ones that you actually want.
So you want to kind of curate your deck yeah, to have what you need.
Yeah, and then you also want to curate it so that the cards that are in your deck play well off of each other. Like, there might be, there's a card, it's called Perfect Strike. So for every card in your hand that has strike in the title of the card, which is almost all your default attacks, you get a bonus for. So you want to have that card if you're building strikes. But if you got rid of all the strikes in your hand for other action abilities, it would make no sense to keep that in hand because it doesn't do anything for you. For instance, the last time I played, because I was playing this at a friend's house, the last time I played, I ended up gaming the system to beat the final boss because there's a card called Madness, which will randomly assign one of your cards as a 0-point card. And it assigned a card that I had called All for One, which is a card that's usually 2 points, but it will bring back all 0-point cards in my hand. And once it became a 0-point card, it also meant that it brought itself back. So I would pay all my 0-point cards, pay that card, get it back, pay all my 0-point cards again, pay that card, get it back. So essentially, it was a damage loop. And it's one of those things that it was happenstance, but it was a great combo to finish that final boss.
Okay.
So it's stuff like that. Like I said, it's really fun. I played it on the Switch, but it's currently a Game Pass game on Xbox, if you want to check that out. And I really recommend it. It's probably one of my favorite games I've played this year so far.
Nice. Anything else?
Lovers in a Dangerous Time or like that.
Ooh, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time?
Yes.
The one where you walk around the ship and, like, did you play multiplayer?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
Yes, and it's a really fun co-op game because it, I mean, essentially you're in this giant, it's like an open-faced pancake.
yes.
Each, like, there's something with 6 or 7 sections of the ship, and there's somebody should control the ship. There's a shield, and then there's like different guns you can get, and you know, you're just kind of going through the space trying to find space bunnies or kittens or dogs or whatever, and you know, you encounter random aliens and stuff like that, so you do combat with them. As you progress and you do this stuff, you also unlock different additions to your ship. And that's part of that, you know, strategy comes into it because each one does something different. So I think there are 3 main additions you can do. It's like a beam, metal, and power. And each one does something different. And then if you upgrade your ship enough, then you can start comboing them. So you could do like a power metal thing, which will give you like the, okay, like your guns. You can do, they can upgrade it to like, it's like a turret. I think one becomes like a wrecking ball and stuff like that. But if you start comboing it, you can do a homing missile. You can do 2 wrecking balls. You can do a fire turret and stuff like that. And it's really cool how that works. And the same thing happens with your shield and your engine. Because even your engine can then become an offensive move where it shoots out like a stream of fire behind it that will take out any nearby. And like I said, it was fun, local co-op, just because a lot of it is coordinating, you know, like figuring out when that person who's controlling the ship needs to get off, because we need all hands on deck to take care of like being swarmed by enemy. Or if you want to, you know, like there are places like you'll rescue these things and you'll trigger an event and it's like, crap, we have to get out of here as soon as possible. But like your ship takes damage if it hits the wall. So making sure that the person who has the shield is kind of also kind of navigating that space with the captain, because you can negate the damage by having the shield hit first, and it will just bounce you in the opposite direction and stuff like that. So yeah, that was, again, a ton of fun, really great co-op game.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Anything else going on?
I played Super Mario Party.
The new one?
Yes.
On Switch?
Yes.
Definitely like that one.
It's fun. It's good. The only thing I've heard people complain about it, but it wasn't until it was in front of my face that it really kind of dawned on me that there is really only 4 maps in that game.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's a huge problem with the game. And it's weird also, like, as much as I personally like it, like, it was never a huge hit with, like, my girlfriend or any of my friends. So, like, I've gotten to play it very little. I like it, though. Like, but,
I like it, and I like the fact that the maps each have a distinct, like, it's still about getting the stars, but it's like, one is, like, you go around an island, and, like, if you go over a bridge too often, that bridge breaks down, so you have to use the warp pipes and stuff like that. There's one where you just kind of keep on looping around, and you buy as many stars as you can, and I like that, but it's, like, there's only 4 maps, and I'm, like,
there should have been DLC. There should have been at least, if not free, some sort of paid DLC or any, just some DLC. Like, it seems like an obvious thing. Just add 4 more board games or whatever.
Like, honestly, at this point, this is the 11th console Mario Party. You can start doing the Mario Kart thing. If you have 4, just get like 4 from the other game.
Yeah,
like, have
seriously.
1 and be done with it. Like, at this point, there's enough boards where you could recycle half of them, and nobody's going to complain.
So I'm sure it'd make a lot of people happy, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fine game, but that is definitely like a valid criticism of it, for sure.
Yes. I will say one thing that I'm so happy they did fix, though, is practice for mini games is done on the screen instead of going to a separate screen to practice, exiting out of that screen, and then starting the mini game.
Yeah, so like right before you hit start on the minigame, like you actually play the minigame right there.
Yeah.
You know, like you basically get a trial run at it before you hit like go into the actual game. It's a smart idea, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things. I mean, like, you know, part of it is that they made the map smaller, but that they made the map smaller, but they also made your dice roll smaller. So instead of having a dice that go from 1 to 10, it goes to 1 through 6. But then each character has their own unique die. So part of the strategy in now picking the character is also picking die that you want. I think Luigi has, like, his goes up to 7, but it's like 1-1-3.
Yeah, 1-1-4-5-7
or something like that. Or there are some people where it's like you can get coins, but that just means that like you won't move anywhere. And sometimes that can be advantageous to you.
Yeah.
Because
I need that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it might be like, oh, I'm near the start, but I don't have enough to get one. So I can get coins and wait out this turn to see if I get more the next time around. So I like that there is a bit of strategy involved in the game as well. A lot of the mini games I played were fun. I mean, I think the mini games have never been the problem with the franchise. It was speedier, I thought, in a lot of ways. But again, it's so weird that it's just like, here's 4 maps and that's it. Especially that, as far as I can tell, there's not a new one coming out this year. So it would be a great time to be like, yeah, we're going to do DLC so you folks can actually have a reason to continue playing this.
That'd be nice. You also played a little bit of Gears of War Definitive Edition.
Oh, yes. I started that because one of my friends wanted to play through the franchise again before Gears 5 came out. And it's funny because I've not played Gears of War Definitive. I've never played it, and which means I haven't played Gears of War since it came out. What, 13 years ago? 13 years ago. And yeah, it's one of those games where it's like so much has been added to the franchise that's not there that it's weird to kind of go back and be like, because my friend was like, oh, I can't wait to get the Torque Bow. I'm like, that's not until 2.
No, the Torque Bow was in 1.
Is it in the first one?
Yep. You the first time you experience it is it's when you're trying to drop the Resonator off. You'll come across the Therons.
Okay.
And they drop.
I guess that's what my thing. A lot of the stuff I thought, because I thought the same thing with the Hammer Dawn, and the Hammer Dawn shows up at the end of Act 1.
Yep.
So I'm just really bad at memorizing when Gears of War introduce stuff. The other thing I found funny going back to it is I don't remember the franchise. I mean, the franchise doesn't lean into it later on, but it's a lot more horror-based.
Oh, the first one was very much influenced by like Resident Evil 4, and it was more of a, especially that second act,
yeah,
which was all very dark.
Like even like when the grunts, I forget their names.
The wretches.
Like they're introduced in a very horror movie-esque way, mm-hmm. with like the camera panning, and then it's like they're getting this frightening intro, and they kind of, and I'm like, it's so weird because they kind of become the joke of the franchise.
Yeah, they're just the you know they're the grunts.
They're the grunts, yeah. And it's like they get this big bombastic entrance, and it's like, oh no, I'm not afraid of you folks now. I mean, I just chainsaw you now,
right? Like I can kick you, like
or yeah,
push you away. Like you're not gonna really gonna damage me much.
But yeah, it's some of the stuff that is added later on, that like when you get downed in campaign, you get downed. Like in later games, you can walk, you can kind of crawl around a bit. And stuff like that. You're just kind of down and you can't do anything. So
yeah,
that was weird.
You can't really move, right? You can't crawl back to
your teammate. You're just down. You know, like stuff. I mean, part of it was because we've been playing Gears of War 4 recently. Like, you can't hop over cover to take out the enemy. like, with that jump kick, which I don't think we use that often, but it is. Or actually, I think in 4, you can also pull them over. I don't
need
that much.
You can grab them. Knife them.
Yeah. You can't sticky grenades. That's not introduced yet. The one thing I do miss, though, is the shotgun in the first game is so overpowered
yes.
in campaign.
So you just walk up to things and explode them with the
Yeah, I don't know how they explode, but I'm like, I'm all for it. But I do miss that. And like the Baltic pistol does a ton of damage as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's also, and I can't remember the other games. They all kind of throw together. I feel like General Ram is one of the few times they actually try to have a humanoid enemy. And he gets a really great intro in part one.
Yeah, when he kills the lieutenant, right, Kim?
Yeah. Just walks up and stabs the dude. And the best part is you're watching this, and then you just run away.
Bravely.
Bravely. The heroes are brave. And
well, does Marcus try to make a move towards him and Dom pulls him away?
I forget what happened.
Or was it both just like, hey, let's run into this building now?
I think they retreat, but it could be Dom pulling him in. Yes, and yeah, so yeah, it's fun to go back. I'm gonna try to be on that journey. I think they're playing with somebody else for two, and then we'll combine forces for three. And yeah, I'm still not 100% how many people five accepts, if it's two or three.
What was that?
I don't know how many people five accepts for like co-op.
Five, I believe, is three.
Which is an odd number, but
yeah.
Better than two.
Yep, because three is the only one that I think you can play four-player co-op.
I think Judgment 2.
Okay.
I think.
Which everyone forgets about Judgment, so. Yeah. I'm also playing through Gears. We finished Gears 2 before I went on vacation, and my son and I have started Gears 3. There's a huge, like, so you're playing the definitive edition of Gears of War. Are you going to play Gears 2 or they're playing with somebody else?
Well, I might play Gears 2 just to kind of, because apparently I do not remember the story of these games that much.
Gears 2 is, I don't think it's necessarily ugly, but coming off of the definitive edition, it is rough. And then Gears 3 is like a huge jump above it, like way more colorful. So yeah, well, enjoy. I think the first Gears is still a ton of fun. So speaking of Gears, I read the bridge book between Gears 4 and Gears 5.
Oh god, have you really?
It took me like a day. It's like really quick read. It's fine. I don't know what it really adds to the story. It's just like a fun adventure story. Like, it's nonsense, but in terms of video game novels, it's fine. So, the only other thing I played was this 2D side-scrolling action platformer called Forbidden Arts. Also fine. I have some issues with it being... It doesn't really telegraph where you need to go or how to beat certain enemies. So you just kind of like bang your head against the wall until you figure it out. And that's not fun. But it kind of looks cool. Like visually it has a... kind of looks like Fable, but in 2D. So it has like a stylistic approach to it. It's a part of the... whatever that Xbox... summer thing that they have going on. It's one of those games, but I would not recommend running out to buy it.
How much is that thing? $15
I think it's 15. I got a review copy, but I would not recommend maybe going. there are better 2D platformers. Action platformers than this one out there. It's a little rough. Which I think I started following because one thing that pissed me off about it is I beat the game, but the achievement for beating the game did not pop. And I was about to uninstall it, but I kind of like looked into it and they recognize like, oh, there's a glitch, like some achievements aren't popping. So there, it sounds like it's one guy that designed it. So that's neat in and of itself, is that, like, you know, he made a pretty cool looking 2D action platformer, but it's also not necessarily, like, it's not that impressive that I'd be like, you need to play it.
Yeah.
It's just, I do like when, you know, one guy gets to kind of like do his thing. And
hey, sometimes Axiom Verge, dude, that game blows me away how good that is.
I think I have that now. I think that was one of the free Epic games.
You should play Axiom Verge. It's fantastic.
Maybe I will at some point. I guess real quick, Earl, do you have the MPDs up?
Just some quick. We don't get numbers anymore. Not surprising, Madden was the number one game of the month.
Madden.
Fire Emblem came in at number two. Mario Maker was three. Marvel Ultimate Alliance was four. I mean, the big story was that six of the top 10 games were Switch exclusive titles. Which I honestly, I don't even, I mean, like, coming from the Wii U, that's a huge markup. I mean, part of it was it's been, like, to Jeff points, it's been a really quiet summer for everybody else, but that's still impressive when you have such mainstays as, like, GTA still making that list.
It's insane.
I don't know who does it for the entire
generation.
It just must be like a rite of passage. Every 13-year-old gets a copy of GTA 5. You know?
Here's your crime game.
Yeah. It's like, so there's a new, you know, there's like millions of kids every year that reach that age and they get the GTA.
I almost want to jump back in and try out the casino DLC.
Where you drink and get a special mission.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
I just know that I can go in and play craps, and I probably have millions of, like, in-game dollars.
That's what I miss about, it's like, once that, because I think San Andreas had casino in it, and it's like, why would you never not include that? Like, I want to go in and play my casino games, you know?
Well, I think you can now in whatever this GTA Online expansion is.
But I'm pretty sure that's how, like, I think in San Andreas, like, you can play some games. Yeah, like,
yep.
It should always be in every open world game is casino that you can go into.
Well, sure. I think there, I was going to say, I know this one, the problem is that you gamble real world money.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, you buy in-game currency, but it's real world money you can use to buy it.
Right. And I like, for me, I believe I have like millions of dollars in in-game currency because they were giving it away at one point and I've never actually spent any of it.
I haven't spent any of mine either. It's just kind of like maybe should go back.
Yeah. We could at least like hang out at the casino. Play poker and blackjack and craps. Maybe I'll download that again and tell you guys how it is.
Takes up too much room in my hard drive or something. I'm only going to play for an hour.
Yeah.
I don't have it on the Xbox, unfortunately.
No?
No, I have it on PlayStation. I don't even have my PlayStation. It's my friend.
Right, because he's borrowing it to play baseball.
Yeah.
Anything else jump out at you on the MPDs, Earl?
I mean, again, Fire Emblem, within its first month, is the second best-selling game in the franchise in the U.S.,
I'm regretting not buying Marvel and not buying Fire Emblem. I wish I'd made a different choice there.
I felt like Fire Emblem would have been more up your alley, but I assume it's that Marvel fan in you. I still don't know. You actually didn't say why don't you like the game.
I have not had a chance to play a whole lot of it. My son normally usurps the Switch. So I'm only on my PC.
Fair enough.
So you wouldn't really have gotten a chance to play Fire Emblem either.
Well, no. See, I could have played like this week, since I've been trapped in my bedroom and don't really have access to my consoles. I could have played it.
Hmm.
Wait, why were you trapped in your bedroom with that?
So my mom is here. Watching the kids while my wife is in Asia.
Is that where she is this week?
Yeah, she's
traveling the world, right?
Bangkok right now.
Nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, my mom is in there, so I can't really get to my Xbox, my PS4, my PC. They're all in there.
Oh, okay.
So you're not going to be able to, you can't play Gears 4 with us next week then.
Oh, next week. She leaves on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Gears 4 is next. Oh, Gears 4.
No, Gears 4. Play some more Horde. You can play 2, Jeff.
That's right.
I'll join in on 5. But
I'm just waiting.
You have Game Pass, don't you? It's free.
Can he pay? Because we already have 5. I mean,
have we had? How many times have we actually had 5, though?
I think twice.
I mean, Jeff's got to be at least better than the guy who puts fences in the wrong spot, or the guy.
We are not talking about him again. We are moving on.
or the other guy who bought all the crappy turrets and put them somewhere out because they got destroyed instantly. He's got to be better than those guys.
Randoms and Gears. So great.
So, in other news.
Yeah.
THQ has restarted development on Dead Island 2, which I thought came out years ago, but I guess I was wrong.
I thought it came out.
So Dead Island 2 is not Dead Island Riptide, which was the second Dead Island game. It's a new game.
I just, for some reason, thought it had come out, dude. Like, I remember saying years ago. Like,
yeah, I think part of it was announced at E3 for the PS3, I think.
That's possible.
Yes, yeah.
and I think a lot of people also think Riptide is Dead Island 2.
I mean, it kind of is at this point. And, like, at this point, it's not even the same developer or anything, right? It's changing developers again.
Yeah, I think this is the third or fourth developers on it now.
It's kind of its own thing
at this point.
Just kill it, because the actual sequel to Dead Island is that game that with the zombies, but also the parkour.
There's a sequel to that coming out too.
Yes.
Dying Light?
Dying Light.
Yeah,
that's by Dead Island. I mean, yeah. that's by the people that made Dead Island. Techland.
Yeah. But, I mean, even then, I don't know what's the big holdup. It's like, really, just repeat what you did in 1 and Riptide. Like, it's not the type of game. Like, I enjoyed Dead Island, but it's not the type of game I played because of amazing production values or deep
It's story. Not, yeah, it was not even good, really. It's just kind of okay.
You play it with your friends.
Yeah, it was a fun, dumb co-op game where we got to make different weapons to beat up zombies.
Yeah.
That's all I asked for.
It's all I asked to be. Yeah.
So I don't know what's taking them, 6-7 years to come up with.
If it ever comes out, it's not going to be as good as Dying Light. So it's just, I don't know.
That's THQ been through this. Like, they went out of business because they kept on trying to chase a wheel that they are not good at. You are a double A developer who's trying to make triple A titles, so you're sinking all this money into games that aren't going to recoup their budget. Even as a fan, I'm not looking forward to Dead Island 2.
No.
9 years later.
And I'm certainly not looking forward to it from Dam Buster Studios, who've recently worked on 2016's classic Homefront: The Revolution.
That's painful.
Yeah.
That's painful.
I've any interest I had in Dead Island 2 just went completely out the window when I read that.
They're also working on a new Saints Row game, which I think isn't surprising to anybody.
Right. And Volition is making it, right?
And then I think they rehired the developer behind Time Splinter to reevaluate the future of the franchise. So I assume the hope there is to... It's a weird one. Like, I'm a fan and I want it back. But it's also a very old-school first-person shooter in that it's made in the GoldenEye design, where I think a lot of games have gone away from that. And it's not like, because you have like, I mean, you have the Call of Duty stuff, which dominates the console space. And then like the PC space has a lot of Doom and, Unreal Tournament type, the Twitch-based shooters. And then you have like the hero shooters. And Time Fighters doesn't fit into any of those. And I think its design is too old school to be brought into the current environment.
Yeah.
So, we shall see.
All right, here's a question. So, Deep Silver was the one that had... They had bought Volition. Are they gone? Did they disappear?
I think Deep Silver... I think part of them got bought out by THQ, or they were, because THQ is a bunch of different companies put together now,
right?
And I want to say that I think that's what happened.
It's like, do they still exist as a name? Even like, I don't even like, is that still a brand or is that still a company under their wing? Like, I have no idea. I have not seen anything saying Deep Silver like in a while.
Right.
I get why you asked that, Chris.
Because they made headlines when they, you know, took over Saints Row and they bought Volition. They took over Homefront and released Homefront the Revolution. They owned Dead Island as a property. And now, like, I don't even see them mentioned in this article that I'm reading about THQ Nordic and all these games which were being developed over at Deep Silver as a publisher. So I don't know, maybe they're gone. Anyway,
easy come, easy goes.
Yeah. You had one other piece.
Yes, they're news? Doing a Bubble Bobble for Friends, which is the title.
Yeah. I love Bubble Bobble.
See, I always confuse it with Bobble Bobble, I think.
Come on, Bub and Bob, two lovable dinosaurs.
Well, yes, that's the one. But I always confuse it with the puzzle game. Mm. What is that? Is that Bubble Bubble or Bobble Bobble?
I don't know.
But you know what game I'm talking about, right?
I think so.
On the NES, right?
Well, it's a puzzle game where like you have the little thing and you shoot the ball up and you match the colors, and if you match it to certain things, anything beneath it falls down.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't remember exactly how it plays right now. Like it's never left a huge impression on me. So.
But no, Bubble Bobble is a, essentially a 2D. It's like a platformer puzzle game.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, I mean, this is essentially getting the Super Bomberman R treatment, where it's kind of like a modern take on it with, a very similar 2D landscape, but with, you know, modern day graphics. Or what you would expect that to look like in a modern day. It's like 3D models in a 2D world and stuff like that.
Visually, like I'm looking at some screenshots now. It's nice. Like, not super, super in depth or anything, but nice enough.
So I guess it's called Puzzle Bobble.
Puzzle. Okay. No, I actually don't know that game, although it looks like Bubble Witch.
It's super fun. We used to play it at the arcade, you know, to date myself, at the bowling alley, to really date myself. When I was in high school and stuff like that. It's really fun. That is coming out in November. It's a Switch exclusive. At least for this year, I would imagine it will be ported over to other things the year after that. Oh yeah. Was the new Need for Speed announced this week?
It was, yes.
Yeah. What do you guys think of that? It looks like.
But the fact that I forgot about it until now tells you what I think about it.
Then, I mean,
the Need for Speed Heat. I like the image for it, which like has like a purple and pink kind of neon Miami Vice type look to it, but I know that's not what the game is, so
I'm happy to see the series come back. I think it feels like it's been a couple years, although I don't have not played the last like three games, so I just heard they were like all not super great. I like racing games, so
yeah, it's been a couple years, but
was the last one the Run, or am I just not paying attention?
Oh no, the run was a long time ago.
I think it was called Ride. I was looking this up the other day. I was like, what are the new Need for Speeds? There's one called just Need for Speed.
Yeah.
There's called
Payback. Was the most recent one.
Payback's like 2 years ago, though.
Yeah. Right. And then there was one called Rivals, I think.
Rivals.
I will say this. I think that Need for Speed Most Wanted on the last gen, I thought was really good. Like, I really like Most Wanted. So that's why I'm always like hold out hope for the series, you know.
Hot Pursuit and Most Wanted last gen were pretty good.
Yeah.
But they were both made by Criterion,
which is probably why I like that. Like, I was interested. Like, yeah, because I know it's all been like different developers since. So yeah.
I mean, Ghost Games is some people that worked.
Yeah.
I haven't liked any of the ones that they've released. Actually, I haven't liked anything since Most Wanted in 2012.
So,
Rivals was that weird game that was always online. Regular Need for Speed, I believe it wasn't always online, but same sort of system. And I didn't play Payback, so.
But, I don't know. I'm not expecting anything out of this, but if it's okay, that'd be cool. I would get it if it. I remember I was looking all this up, though, because I think all the Need for Speed games were on sale on Xbox like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, should I buy one of these for $5? And then I never did. I never pulled the trigger on them.
I mean, you could spend $5 and give them all a try.
Yeah, I guess. Like, actually,
EA Access.
You know what? EA or Xbox Live sent me a message last night, and it was like, we're giving you a month of EA Access for free, and it's like,
there you go.
You could try out the new Madden game, or blah blah blah. I guess I could do that.
You could try out Madden and try out the Need for Speed games from this generation.
Seems like a lot of work, though.
More than it's worth.
I'm balls deep in Sims right now. So,
well, that sounds weird.
I realized that it was coming out of my mouth.
It's like, all right. Well, I think that's it. Unless anybody else has any more news.
I need to go get balls.
It sounds like Jeff's got things to do.
Yeah. Jeff is very busy right now with The Sims. So, unless you guys have nothing else, we will end it here. Come back next week with something new, I guess.
That is such a gross thing. All right.
We're not too far off from games coming out, so I guess it's gonna be a couple weeks. Control comes out in a couple weeks. So.
I'm calling in sick on September 20th.
Because you're gonna be balls deep in Sims.
Balls deep in Link.
You.
Whatever works for you, Jeff. but yeah, Control comes out the 27th. I think I'm gonna pick that up. I'm also going to get that. Is it Supermassive? Is that the name of the company that made Until Dawn? Their new game comes out on the 29th, I think.
Yeah, I want to get that because I want to see how the co-op story mode thing works.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool. And there's like what co-op movie mode too.
Yeah, that I'm just interested in.
Right. I mean, you would prefer to play it to like where you pass the controller and play it that way. I'm interested in that. Like, I liked Until Dawn, and I'm getting another kind of like narrative horror adventure game. Seems cool. So, all right. Well, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.